Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Well, if you want to hear a coach tiptoe around carefully selecting what he says compared to what he wants to say. Hey, Jared Bednar, how'd you feel about Alexander Georgiev's game last night?
It probably need to be better, right? Like, I thought we played well. We created some chances. He made some good saves, but we're going to need, like, a couple more saves than that probably to win, you know? So, but it is what it is. We'll regroup. It wasn't, like, we made some mistakes in front of him that we'll have to clean up and try to get the job done. It's a team game.
I mean, is this a game coming out of it? Are you encouraged for the rest of the series or discouraged?
It's a great question. I guess I'm a little bit of both. I'm encouraged in that you can hang six on them. And the way you started off with that first goal and... I mean, at one point, it's a bazillion shots to just a few. But I'm discouraged in that you can play a great game and Georgiev's going to give up three or four soft goals. I have no confidence right now in Georgiev. What I see is a broken goaltender. He's broken.
He had that one flurry near the end of the second period where for about 5 minutes he made some big saves. And you can make the argument that, you know, he made the saves that he was supposed to, right? Yeah. And that if he hadn't, then you're talking about another goal or two added on top of it. But it was only that about for 5 minutes there in the second period, late in the second period. But then after that, yeah, he's just struggling so much in his head. And you can just tell the first hint of adversity, he crumbles. And not only that, you can tell with all the... Goalies are a position that you can't let them see you sweat, right?
Right.
You can't let the opposing team know that you're getting in their head. And, man, his body language is awful. Never mind his goaltending. His body language. He's, you know, throwing his arms up. He's skating around in a huff. Whether he's mad at himself, mad at the situation, mad at his team, it doesn't matter. If you're on that Winnipeg bench, you're like, we got him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's spent. He's struggling. He is. I don't know, man. Hey, you gave up four goals on the first 10 shots.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
Second down.
Meanwhile, not nearly as much angst right now with the Nuggets because they continue to be the Lakers' daddy as they shook off a sluggish first half, but then flipped the switch in the third quarter. And went on to win by 11. And Jamal Murray already looking ahead to game two tonight. What's the key?
They're in the lanes and everything. I think we're just doing a better job of just being more crisp and sharp and knowing that they're trying to force turnovers and get on a run. So it's a team awareness thing. Not just one person. I think everybody's doing a better job of just being more aware of what the other team wants and needs to win the game.
Coaching. Michael Malone has just been drilling into his team, and this goes back to last year, it goes back to the regular season meetings, the idea that you cannot allow the Lakers to get out in transition, that they are a deadly transition team, that LeBron James is a one-man fast break, and boy, you don't think the message got into his players' heads? Game one, 27 assists, 4 turnovers.
Total.
What is that? That a 7-1 ratio? 7-1 assist to turnover ratio?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That's like the ratio between the foul shots that the Lakers take and that you're going
to
take.
Exactly. 19-6, the free throw attempts.
19-6, 0 free throw attempts in the second half.
But.
Doesn't matter.
At this point, I mean, is it a storyline? We can complain about it. We can roll our eyes. We can say, what are you doing, NBA? But. The Nuggets have won 9 in a row against the Lakers, and in every one of those games, they've attempted fewer free throws.
Right.
So?
Yeah, that's just a given. And you know Michael Malone addressed it before the game. Like, he's addressed it. Hey, man, they're going to have more free throw attempts than us.
Right. And at this point, you could tell that his team is conditioned not even think about it.
Right.
Not worry about it. Not pout about it.
Not complain about it.
Just
no
go play.
No excuses, no explanations. Do your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Third down.
9 a.m. today, this morning, the Broncos set to unveil new uniforms. Broncos country, is this something you're excited about or are you dreading?
Or what are you? Are you excited about it?
I mean, if they do it right, sure. I don't have a
but
problem.
But everybody's going to have a difference.
I don't have a problem with new uniforms. It's just, I don't know. It's just, whenever you're making a big deal of uniforms and different uniforms, it's what losers do.
Is it like hanging in-season fake tournament banners?
That kind of thing.
No.
What? But like, you know, the Rockies have always, you know, hey, you know, new unis. You know, the Avs and Nuggets, when they were struggling and trying to build this thing up, they were trotting out a new uniform every 2 weeks, it seems like. You know, it's like, hey, pay no attention to how bad our team is. Look over here.
Look at our gear.
Look at our gear. Oh, yeah. you got to go out and get one of these. You don't want to be the lone person in your group
right,
who shows up that doesn't have one.
New gear.
You got to get
then
it.
Then what are you going to do?
Right? So, yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens coming up around 9 a.m.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Speaking of those Rockies, just continuing to cover themselves with glory. Even when it looks like they've walked off an opponent, they still can't get a break. You see the home run? Looked like it was a home run, but
right.
It got called as an out for fan interference. Apparently, the rule is that if you interfere with a ball in play, they call
it's an out.
It's an out.
Yeah.
Is that a little bit harsh?
No. Well, I mean, you're a fan. You need to know that you're not involved. Nobody came to watch you catch a fly ball. Hey, if it's out, then great.
Yeah, but it was close enough that
you can't reach over,
dude. You don't
set your glove.
You don't at that point. You don't think you're reaching over. You see the ball coming to you, and you're just going for the ball. You're not at that point as a fan sitting there. You get to the game. You get your seats. Dude came with a glove, so you know he meant business, and he thought that there was a shot.
And did he think that he might get signed? Did he think that?
By the way,
yeah.
Russell Wilson threw out the first pitch in Pittsburgh on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he took BP. Dude, you want to say about Rod, dude's a really terrific athlete, really good baseball player. You should see. I mean, he was taking some hacks.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
He was taking cuts.
I saw
But he threw out the first pitch. Tell me, you like it or hate it? He went out to throw the first pitch with a baseball glove.
No, I think it's fine. He's a baseball player.
Okay, I didn't mind it either.
Yeah, he's a baseball player. That's probably his glove from when he was a second baseman.
So he wanted to play baseball
for
a day.
Evens you up.
Yeah.
It evens you up, makes you feel good about where you're at.
That's a great point.
Right?
It's a great point.
Especially with him. And he threw a strike.
He did.
I have no problem with him throwing strikes to stationary targets. It's the anticipatory throws that he can't make.
The catcher was open.
Yeah. If the catcher would have been coming from, like, down the seam.
Like, from the on-deck circle.
Right. He would have taken off. I'm surprised he didn't take off and scramble with the first pitch.
just when, you know, we say, just when we say nice things about Russell Wilson, it ends up. Love when we can extend the Russell Wilson smear campaign organically like that. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. So, in the aftermath, everyone's griping about Georgiev and the goaltending, but are there plenty of reasons to feel good about the Avs coming out of their performance? And what is LA's top columnist saying about the Lakers and this series? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
What's trending coming up at 7:30? How new Chargers coach Jim Harbaugh celebrated his national championship season with Michigan. We'll tell you about it in ways that I can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, even though the Avalanche lost yesterday, 7-6, are there reasons to feel good about the Avs' chances in this series? Jared Bednar certainly feels so.
I don't think there's a need for frustration at all after that. Shouldn't be frustrated at all. I think we played hard. We played well in a lot of areas. We have to clean up a couple things, but hey, this is going to be a long, hard series, and frustration shouldn't be creeping into it after losing one game on the road.
And despite now being 0-4 against Winnipeg this year, giving up 24 goals in the process, again, Bednar seeing a silver lining.
You get the feeling on the bench. Is frustration sitting in? Is it, you know, do you believe in what you're doing? Like, I think we proved a lot to ourselves tonight in that locker room. Like, we haven't played the Jets well this year. We played them a good game at home early in the season, but like that's our first taste of us playing hard and then playing hard and seeing what's going to happen, you know. And it's a 7-game series, so I don't think that a whole lot changed for us, like from start to finish in that game. I thought the guys played as hard as they possibly could and as clean as they possibly could.
So real confidence, or, you know, kind of that phony false bravado confidence that teams and athletes try to come up with?
No, I think there's some real confidence in there, in that, you know, you scored first on the Chewy goal. Great goal. I mean, great goal, top shelf off the post.
Snipe.
Yeah, it was
pure sniper goal.
And you know, I mean, you look at it, come on. We got to be better in goal. I mean, 4 goals on 10 shots. Stop it. Stop. But you've got to feel pretty confident in what you were able to do and what we were able to, you know, to score and the way you were able to score against a goalie who you have mentioned is probably going to win the Vezina Trophy. So I think that part is encouraging. But with that said, Mike, there's still that part in the back of your mind goes, no matter how good we are, if we don't get better goaltending between the pipes. And what makes you think after the second half of the season, what makes you think you're going to get better goaltending?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, you turn to Justice Onanen, who's played...
His name is Justice.
Who's played...
He's going to dispense some.
He's been in the pros 3 years. He's had 15 career starts, none in the playoffs. And...
just got to get over his exploding diarrhea.
And that's no cap.
Yeah, it's a lower body injury.
So you just assume that that's what it was?
Well, he was sick.
He was sick?
I mean,
I don't know. Can you trust that one?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He was sick and...
Careful. Because if that's going on, you can never trust him.
Oh, you can't.
You cannot
trust
him.
You can't put that in your bloomers.
No.
Your breezers.
No. Your breezers.
I need a new set of breezers.
Got messed up breezers.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Nuggets get ready to take on the Lakers tonight, game 2, and talk about false bravado. Boy, over these last 9 games, you know the Lakers have been trying to come up with all kinds of ways to say, "Oh yeah, no, we feel we're figuring things out. We got to
even the Lakers don't have to do it. Windhorst will do it for them."
Well, not everybody's carrying their water. Bill Plaschke of the LA Times.
Oh, good, Bill.
You know Bill from your ESPN days. LA's top columnist wrote about this game. The truth echoed like a Rocky Mountain roar. The reality swirled and stuck and froze like the snow outside Ball Arena on the night when the Lakers were forced to face the facts. They're simply not as good as the Denver Nuggets. They're not as tough. They're not as deep. They're not as skilled. They're not as connected. If they somehow overcome Saturday's defeat and win this series, it'll be the upset of the century. Darvin Ham said, "I truly believe it's going to be a hard-fought series. Everybody's going to lose their mind over one game." And Plaschke wrote, "Nope, not buying it. Mind is completely intact. Series might be eventually hard-fought, but it certainly appears to be short-lived. If the Lakers win one game, it'll be an accomplishment. If they win 2 games, it would feel like a miracle. If they win 3 games, throw a parade. There is simply no scenario in which it appears possible for the Lakers to win four of the next six games.
Mm. You know what the first line of there that resonated with me? When he was describing what the Lakers weren't compared to what the Nuggets were, they're not as tough. Let me just tell you, if I'm building a team, tough and smart are the two things that resonate with me the most. Are you tough and are you smart? And the Nuggets have that over the Lakers and pretty much everybody else. The toughness and the smarts.
Yep. And you can see it. You can see it. You know, the Lakers built up false hope while the Nuggets were kind of doinking around.
Sure.
But then the moment that the Nuggets got serious, you could see it in the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it in their body language. You could see it in their faces. It's like, shoot. They just flipped the switch and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do about it. Well, all right. See what you made of, Lakers. Because you have any hope? Any hope of winning this series? You have to win tonight.
Got to.
Simple as that.
You
got
to win on the road. Yes.
Simple as that. You don't win this game, even Brian Windhorse will have a tough time spinning it in your favor. He'll try, but it'll be a tough time. Wow. What's trending coming up next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Well, it is the question every Avalanche fan is asking right now of Jared Bednar. You gonna make a switching goal?
I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to play or not. Wasn't healthy enough to play tonight. We'll see what we see in the morning, and then, you know, I'm not thinking about anything else. We gotta have him available if he's going to play.
Yeah, so would you consider a goaltending change?
I'm not going to speculate.
I'll speculate.
Yeah, but that
if he's healthy, Anand in plays.
If he's healthy, he's in goal. And his name is Justice.
But, you know, just keep this in mind if you're looking for Justus Onanen to come riding to the rescue for the Avalanche. 3 years in the NHL, 15 starts, none in the playoffs. He won 8 games this year against Ottawa, 2 against Chicago, Calgary, St. Louis, Minnesota, Nashville, and Edmonton's minor league team. The only true playoff team he beat this year was Nashville. The Avalanche were very careful in picking their spots when he would play. So just something to keep in mind when you're looking at him as potentially being the savior.
I have noticed that you are just glossing over and ignoring my desire to change his name to Justice. Why?
It would fit, though, right?
Right.
You know?
My name is Justice!
Look at our goalie out there dispensing justice.
Right.
Dispensing justice t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it.
It's time for justice.
I know. Justice will be served.
Yes.
I know.
There's a million
justice. There's
justice.
A million.
How does he spell
Unfortunately,
Justice?
Unfortunately, it's Justice.
How does he spell
that? Well, it's actually spelled like Justice. J-U-S-T-U-S.
Justice is his name.
And justice he shall be.
Justice he shall dispense.
And maybe he'll be our savior. We shall see.
Oh, let's hope.
Well,
let's hope.
But hey, if he's healthy, he's playing tomorrow night. That's for sure.
Amen.
Meanwhile, the Nuggets continue to roll along as they get set for game number 2 tonight against the Lakers. Do you see the Lakers winning tonight?
No. Oh, I think they are going to pull out all the stops. But do I think they're going to win this game? No. No, I don't think so. I mean, what's the free throw discrepancy going to have to be for them to win? 5-1? 6-1? Because certainly 3-1 wasn't good enough.
By the way, what is going on out there in these games? And I'm talking about during the regular season as well. The Lakers attempting 500 more free throws than the second closest team in the NBA. In all nine of these games that the Nuggets have won, the Lakers have attempted more free throws.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? And I'm serious, because to explain something like that, that can't just be, hey, that's just the way the game's being played.
Right.
And the calls are the calls. I mean, you have got to have a conscious decision among the officials.
Sure.
To have the calls, that kind of discrepancy. So where does that come from?
It is.
It can't just be a subconscious thing.
It's
a conscious decision.
Right. It's an
coming from who?
Incredibly bad look on the NBA. And I understand, you know, LeBron flops a lot. And I understand that he's LeBron James, you know, 19-time All-Star, started in the league when he's 18.
The King is here.
And you're going to give him, you know, a very
King, but I like, yeah, what you, I like what you did there.
Yeah, a very marginal. Like, they're going to give him a very easy whistle, so to speak. Far more than you're going to give Jokic, because Jokic is a bully.
But let's face it, in order for that discrepancy to continue during the regular season, in the playoffs, all these games with the Lakers, it has to come from up top. That the NBA is telling the officials, give the Lakers a friendly whistle.
We need the Lakers.
It's as simple as that.
We need the Lakers to be relevant. Who, by the way, who
which is what then makes this nine-game streak even more satisfying.
That wasn't LeBron James who says the King is here?
No.
Who was that?
Okay, no, really. No. That's Marquette King.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway. All
right. Jim Harbaugh.
Forget about that
Jim
guy.
Jim Harbaugh, yeah, celebrating his 15-0 season national championship at Michigan, he followed through on a promise. He was back in Ann Arbor this weekend getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
A Michigan tattoo. Right on the... Nope. No, Mrs. Harbaugh. He's inked.
Yeah.
Same place I got my Tebow tattoo. Right up there on the right shoulder.
Right.
Just,
that's right.
So anyway.
You could play for the Nuggets.
Better than us. Nobody.
So Jim Harbaugh and I have that in common. We both made silly, stupid bets that we had to pay off.
I still think...
Betting against ourselves.
I still think... All right, here's the bet. If the Nuggets repeat, we go in, we do a video.
We?
I'm going to go with you. Moral, yeah, support.
Mouse in your pocket?
Moral support. We go in and we change that Tebow tattoo to a Jokic tattoo.
Be very easy to do. It's a 15.
It's a 15. I think.
But then again, if I do that, Mello will complain.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Don't want to get Mello all bothered.
You can take the heat from Mello.
He's very, yeah, that's true.
You can take the heat.
Hey, Mello, easy. Easy, easy. No orange on orange crime here, okay?
No.
Mike, did you have to pay for the Tebow tattoo as well, or did someone else pay for
totally
it?
Totally free. Trust me.
The I was going to say that would add a lot of insult to injury.
The place that I got a lot of publicity.
I think it's a good bet.
Me and Harbaugh, both losing bets that nothing was at stake for somebody else. It was just us betting against ourselves. Okay. We have that in common. Poor Patrick Mahomes. He and his wife just trying to take a vacation. Right, get away from it all.
And they had the
misfortune of vacationing at a place where there were a bunch of Raider fans. As Mahomes and his wife are walking through the lobby, right? All right, is that cool that, hey, football rivalries, it's awesome, and it doesn't matter if you're on vacation, we're going to give you the business? Raider fans, cool? Or, come on, you're the Raiders. You suck. You're irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are your daddy. Mahomes is your daddy. You look foolish chanting Raiders. So what is it? Cool or pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I love
There's
the fact that they love
you. Right.
I do too. There's part, but it is the Raiders. You guys haven't won anything. The last time you won a championship was in the 80s.
Yeah.
80s.
So while there's part of me that like respects the idea that, hey,
Mahomes, I don't care if you're on vacation, we're coming after you.
But then there's the other part of me that's like, should I be doing this? I'm a Raider fan.
Dude.
He's Mahomes.
Just a little bit.
Maybe I ought to just keep my mouth shut.
Right. Quick Bronco bit of news, by the way. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, reporting that source confirms the Broncos are bringing in veteran cornerback Levi Wallace to sign today. Wallace has at least 2 interceptions in each of the last 5 seasons. He's pretty much been a starter. So I guess as of right now, he's your starting corner opposite PS2, right?
Yeah, I think currently on the depth chart, that's probably how it would go.
Hopefully Riley Moss comes back for his second year and is able to beat him out as a former third-round pick, but I guess we'll see, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Levi Wallace. Broncos continuing to make moves. Of course, the big move for a lot of you coming up at 9 when the new uniforms are unveiled. That is what is trending. Bring that to you each and every morning. I want to give you a chance to go see some championship basketball in June, and hopefully our team will be there. But regardless, we're sending potentially you and a guest on the road. 2 tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for 2 from Denver to a destination to be determined. 2 nights hotel, $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered a Fan Flyway back in February to Vegas, you are automatically signed up for this one and all future fly away contests. So good job there. Get yourself signed up. Coming up next, for all the grief that Alexander Georgiev is receiving, should somebody else be catching a lot of heat? And does Michael Porter Jr.'s story remind all of us that even millionaire athletes are people too? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Lot to react to. Playoff hockey, playoff basketball, draft coming up on Thursday. Can't get here soon enough.
Right? Gosh, it's been dragging on now for weeks.
Exactly.
There's not really any new information.
Well, the only bit of new information, I guess, that perhaps could impact the Broncos is the Vegas odds on Washington selecting J.J. McCarthy at number 2 have gone way up.
Really?
I mean, way up, like they're favored now to take him. That apparently when Washington did that group prospect visit last week, they brought in like 20 guys, including all the quarterbacks. Apparently Jaden Daniels was a little bit perturbed by that. His nose was a little out of joint. He thought it was going to be him.
Oh.
And when everybody else showed up, that apparently he didn't like. And so...
So instead of...
He may not want to play now for Washington.
Oh, my word. Tell me that's not true.
Well, in the meantime, McCarthy's stock. And I got to give Jim Harbaugh credit. Got to give him credit. He said way back when, once teams go through this entire process and really get a chance to do a deep dive on J.J. McCarthy and get to know him, you watch. He'll be the first quarterback off the board. That doesn't look like that's going to happen, but he may be the second one.
Reminds
ahead
me of, that
of
song
Daniels, ahead of Drake May.
By Rupert Holmes. Him, what she gonna do about him?
How does that, I mean, as much as I like my man Rupert, you know, the
how does that relate?
How does that relate?
Well, it relates because Jaden Daniels is like him. You brought him in here.
Ah.
Him. What am I gonna do about him? Dude, that's like your opportunity to shine and compete, not to tuck your tail between your legs if that is the case.
Right.
And whine about it. So odds are shooting up in Vegas. You can bet on the draft.
Oh, yeah. You can bet.
Who goes where?
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. You kidding me? Of course you can. As the great Joe Williams once said, in Vegas, you can bet on two cockroaches going up the wall. Who gets there to the top fast?
Mm-hmm.
Faster. Of course you can.
All right.
So, and the only reason I bring this up as potential, news, don't you get the sense that if Sean Payton was going to move up for anybody and give up two drafts, it'd be for McCarthy?
I was watching a draft show yesterday. I think it was Field Yates and Mel Kiper and some other innocuous dude that I've never seen before. Some draft guru. It was fake Todd McShay. So it was Field Yates, Mel Kiper, and fake Todd McShay. And they had Knicks going all the way to 33 to the Giants, grabbing Knicks at 33.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, there are plenty of people who look at Bo Nix now as a likely second-round quarterback.
I feel more strongly, and I felt this way for a while, that the Broncos were going to trade down, but that if they didn't trade down, and I felt this way since the draft process started, that they were going to draft a football player, not a quarterback, and then everybody here in Denver will lose their minds. They'll lose their minds.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
And that there's part of that.
Especially if they take a corner.
Part of that makes me really happy.
I know. Because you enjoy reveling in other people's misery.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, at least he owns it, folks.
A little bit.
At least he owns it. On the rumbleslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Guys, who else is done with Georgiev? He's leading the Avs straight to another first-round exit. I know there were a few defensive miscues, but there are at least three goals he should have stopped. That's from Austin. You're absolutely right. You can't waste a performance like that. On the road, game one of the playoffs, a chance to go in and stun the team that's dominated you during the regular season. You go out, you score six goals. You double them up in shots, 46-23. You got to come away with a victory. And while there were certainly some miscues on defense, the fact remains is that offensively, you did enough that if your goaltender makes two or three saves that he's supposed to.
That he should, yes.
You win that hockey game. You win that hockey game. And I know that Alexander Georgiev is public enemy number one. But let us not overlook the role of management in all this.
That's a great point.
Because you remember, we were having these conversations up to and even after the trade deadline. Boy, they probably could use a backup goalie, huh?
Yeah.
They probably could use, not only is Onanen a good prospect, but he is young, very inexperienced, and can you really trust Georgiev? Hey, the whispers were already beginning about Georgiev back before the trade deadline. And when we were putting together the wish list of things that the Avalanche needed to try to go out and address at the trade deadline, goaltender was certainly one of them. But, you trade for a veteran goaltender, you bring in salary, right? And I don't know whether this was an ownership thing that said, nope, we're not going to go the Vegas route and spend more money while we've got guys on long-term injured reserve, or whether it was Chris McFarlane in the front office saying, no, we're not going to, I'm a GM and I want to be able to develop young prospects and we want to make sure that not only are we winning now, but we're winning down the road. And so it's, I look across the hallway and I see what the Nuggets are doing, developing young bench players. We're going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Yeah. It was a topic of conversation about getting a veteran goaltender in here to back up Georgiev and somebody that you believe in if Georgiev continues to stumble. And one of the things about Georgie was, over the course of the season, he had like more wins, I think 38 wins or something. Led the league in wins, but was 50th in save percentage. Yeah.
Remarkable stat.
It is a remarkable stat, which just means, man, he has not been very good. He hasn't been clean and tight, from post to post.
Clean and tight to the post.
Yep.
Yep.
He has not been clean and tight to the post.
Like the DU goalie. He was clean and tight to the post.
Yeah, very clean. Very tight.
Very clean. Very tight.
That's what she said.
Steve Carell.
That's become my favorite drop.
Steve Carell, the voice of Gru.
Oh, is Steve Carell the voice of Gru?
You didn't know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Okay.
I did. I just forgot.
So now all of a sudden, you can't turn on your TV and not see Nikola Jokic in an ad. Hotels.com.
Right.
And now he's doing and showing up in the trailer for Despicable Me 4. Set the scene for you. I'll set the scene.
Yeah, okay, set it.
In case you haven't seen it. So Jokic is sitting on a couch, you know, visiting with a shrink.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I'll take it, let him take it from here.
Thought I look really good that day. I put on this beautiful suit. They said, I mean business.
Like the one you're wearing?
Yes.
Then what happened?
They say I looked like Gru.
Why does that bother you?
It doesn't.
Then why bring it up?
Because they won't leave me alone.
They?
Guys, I'm not your boss.
Illumination's Despicable Me 4.
And then, perfect. Absolutely perfect. He comes strolling into the arena before game number one in full Gru outfit, even the with Gru the scarf.
Yes, I mean, I love the guy and I love the cartoon. And why not just have a little bit fun, too?
You know, when you just listen to Jokic,
right,
especially in the trailer,
mm-hmm,
I'm getting strong Arnold vibes.
Are you?
Strong. Tell me you don't hear Arnold here. Neighbor.
Thought I look really good that day. I put on this beautiful suit. They said, I mean business.
Mm-hmm. Like the one you're wearing?
Yeah. Yes.
Then what happened?
They say I looked like Gru.
Huh?
Then I say, get to the chopper!
The show, this is a monster.
Right? New Predator?
Yeah.
With Jokic?
Looks like Washington's got you pushing too many pencils. Dude, you're right.
Right?
He does have some, he does have some Arnold in there.
I hear Arnold there. Nikola Jokic? Next action hero?
By the way, how cool is Nikola that you're going into, you know, you're going into the first round of the playoffs against the Lakers, and you're like, oh yeah, sure, I'll wear the Gru outfit into the stadium. No big whoop for me. Help promote the movie. Because
mm-hmm,
I'm just going to go out here and dispense justice. That's all I'm going to do.
No big whoop.
No big whoop.
I see all these entrances by athletes.
Uh-huh.
And it's become a big deal now, right? It's like a, it's like the walkway. It's like,
oh,
it's like a fashion show. Mm-hmm. All these athletes trying to come in and make some sort of statement.
Right.
And in one fell swoop, he laps all of them.
Oh, yeah. Easy laps them.
Easy lap.
And it's just...
Even Kyle Kuzma is sitting back going, damn, that's good.
Are you a model?
Google Kyle Kuzma and some of his fashion sense.
Well, it's like...
And then
some of the stuff
report Westbrook, back to me.
Westbrook used to come in.
Give them to me.
Your
now.
Clothes.
Huh?
Give them to me.
You Terminator?
Hmm.
Terminator reboot with Nikola Jokic? Why not? Hey, fun and games, but Michael Porter Jr. is dealing with some real-life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few days after his brother, Jonte Porter, was banned from the NBA amid a betting scandal, his younger brother, Coben Porter, was sentenced to 6 years in prison for a drunken driving crash that killed a woman in Colorado this past year. And MPJ... out there playing the other night, and thankful to have his teammates by his side.
Definitely tried to compartmentalize, you know, some bad and sad stuff happened to a couple of my brothers, but I got, you know, 15, 16 more brothers in here, so I knew I had to be here for them and come in here and do my job and try to prepare to do it at a high level.
And he admits that you got to be mentally tough in times like these.
We're human, so we carry our emotions and the things that go on off of the court onto the court. But, you know, I'm mentally tough. I've been through a lot through, you know, my whole career. So, you know, it was just another one of those things that I had to try to play through.
Not that we need it, but I guess every once in a while it is a good reminder
that as sports fans, you know, we tend to, and I'm guilty of this from time to time. We tend to look at these athletes and we see the fame, we see the fortune, we see the money, we see the fawning, you know, nature of fans and think, my goodness, what a life. Man.
Right.
How cool must it be to be that guy? But this is a reminder. Hey, you guys, you deal with real life stuff too.
Sure. I think that's, you know, it's always interesting, and I've said this to you many times, but there's a lot of guys that can find escapism on the court or on the field. And I just never was one of those guys, man. If I had issues, you know, issues going on, it's hard to not let those things permeate into your workplace. And, you know, he talked about mental toughness, man. I'm not that mentally tough. When it comes to that kind of stuff, it crushes me. So, like, I like things to be solved. That would be, you know, and of course I say that, but I've never had to deal with that. But I know it would be really hard for me to compartmentalize that and put it behind
really?
Me.
Really, once, like, you were a young dad in the NFL, so you were dealing with stuff, you know, kids with fevers and everything sure. like that. But did you feel like, or is this cliche? Did you feel like once the game started, it was escapism? It was a place where for 3 hours you could get lost in the competition, well, lost in the game, and truly forget about real life.
Yeah, to a point. I think to a point during the game, I mean, you got to focus on what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to get beat. But to me, it's the preparation of the week that sets you up for the game. And that's where it's hard to put that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, that's where it's hard to put that stuff behind you. When the game starts and, you know, and you're in deep competition. But what I'm talking about is, hey, man, kids are going to have fevers, right? People are going to get sick. People are going to break a leg or an arm or whatever. You know, whatever.
They're going to pass away.
Right.
Yeah.
And that stuff, you know, that's stuff. But if you're right with people at home and things are right in your relationship with your wife and your kids and all that stuff, then you can, that to me, I need that stability. Like, I know, like, for him, if he's right in relationship with his brothers and stuff, then, you know, you're like, man, this is really hard, but we're going to work through this. We're gonna make this stuff work. But that's what I'm talking about, just to make sure. And then, like, the overall preparation stuff during the course of the week, man, that wears on you when things aren't going right at home. And so, yeah, you know, you kick off and stuff, and then you're just playing a game. But I feel for him, man. It's tough to try to juggle all that stuff. And, you know, you're on phone calls and during the day, you know, you get out of a meeting and you run back and you call your brother and say, hey, man, how's it going? Give me the latest, da 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 da. Whatever. Like, all that stuff is, I feel for him, man.
That's a double whammy.
There's no question.
This past week. Wow.
And he did, you know, he mentioned that tightness of the team, all the brothers that he has on that team. You know, it just goes to show you one more of the advantages that have been created over there at Ball Arena under Michael Malone.
Yeah.
And this is where I get to where I get irritated with people like, he doesn't know rotations. He doesn't know how to coach.
Who cares?
Dude, that dude is coaching his basketball squad. And those guys have bought in and have developed this sacrificial nature to play the game the right way.
Exactly.
And that's why they're so tight-knit, and that's why they're going to win another championship.
Exactly. This kind of culture, this kind of identity, this kind of brotherhood, this kind of family-type atmosphere that has been cultivated under Michael Malone for all these years,
mm-hmm.
I will take that every day over, oh, I didn't like his rotation. I didn't like the way he subbed there in the fourth quarter. Okay. No coach is perfect. I'll gladly take his strengths,
right,
and overlook whatever weaknesses there may be. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. Speaking of Coach Malone.